Ryder here. Welcome to Pagan Paradise Podcast number 181 on January 2nd, 2018. Don't you know I had to record this twice to get the 2018 in there? Duh. Changing the world, everybody, one ass at a time. If you enjoy and appreciate my work and you want to help me spread the word about pegging, consider becoming a patron of mine so that I can spend more time doing podcasts, answering questions, writing articles for all the people out there interested in pegging everywhere. Just go to patreon.com/rubyrider, or you can click the support my work button on the right hand side of my website. And don't forget, there is an extraordinary and carefully curated selection of body-safe, non-toxic toys. They can be purchased from the little black dress of pleasure products, Entice Me. Just go to enticeme.com, hashtag Ruby Rider, and make sure that coupon code Rider, R-Y-D-E-R, is there when you make your purchase, because you'll get 15% off of everything you buy. That's R-Y-D-E-R. You will be supporting Pegging Paradise with every purchase you make. So let's start off with a Patreon update, okay?
Yes.
A new patron by the name of Robbie, who pledged $5 a month. Thank you, Robbie, so much for your generous pledge. And he also wrote a note that I wanted to share here. I am so grateful and always will be for you helping me to not feel ashamed. I am looking forward to sharing my stories with you. I also hope your stories with us never end. Your work is the greatest service to mankind. Best wishes always for you, and have a happy new year. Much love and respect, Robbie. That message warms my heart, Robbie. I really try hard to fight against shame and the taboo and all of that stuff everywhere regarding pegging. So it means a lot that I helped you in that way, and I'm honored. Thank you very much for becoming my patron. And I also received a one-time donation from David for $50. That was a very generous donation, David. Thank you so much. I really appreciate your support. It means a lot to me. Little by little, this is becoming a reality, everybody. It really is. You know, my community takes care of me, and I can keep doing what Robbie called the greatest service to mankind. And I know it helps people, but it's my passion, too. Is it my passion partly because I care? Yeah, it is. I really do care. You men have a tough road out there, and the women who are with the men who decide that they are going to do this pegging thing, and that perhaps they are going to touch into their vulnerable places and open up and all that kind of stuff, sometimes you have a tough road too. So I am here for you, everybody. Absolutely here for you. Okay, and again, a couple of announcements about my special podcast upcoming. You have just until January 6th, which is 4 more days, to submit anything you would like to submit for my Crossdressers podcast, which will be posted on January 9th. And then the Bisexuality podcast isn't until February 13th, and those contributions need to be in by Saturday, February 10th. So if you're a crossdresser, get on it and send me something if you are so moved. If you are so moved, sitting there in your lace and perhaps velvet and stockings and garters perhaps and high heels and whatever it is that you enjoy. So there you go. That is the special podcast schedule. First up, in terms of your letters, I would like to read you something from a guy who we heard from back on podcast number 177, Javier from Puerto Rico. It's very short. Happy New Year, Ruby. Still no power at home. Hope I can get it back before 2018 ends. In my world, which is not Puerto Rico, 2017 is ending soon, but 2018, goodness sakes, that's a year away. I have to say, I'm really disappointed in the leadership of our country for a number of reasons. This is a prime example of where I really feel like he failed to step up to the plate and help people who really, really need help. So, Javier, I'm sorry to hear that you do not have power, and I will keep announcing that Puerto Rico cannot be forgotten, for as long as it takes for you guys to get back to a semblance of normality, especially where power is concerned, goodness sakes, that's the basics. Thanks for checking in, Javier. I wish you the best. Here's an email. Hello, Ms. Ruby. I just found your website and podcast. I would really love your opinion. I met my current girlfriend almost 6 years ago. A year into our relationship, I explained to her that I was submissive. She researched it and loved it, so she made me her sub. Then I caught her watching IR porn. Now I looked it up. That's interracial. I love it when you guys make me look stuff up. And he goes on to say, she explained to me that she was going to cuckold me. That was a huge turn-on for me, but I have no idea why. But then one night, she and I were drinking and smoking weed with her bull, and she made me give her bull oral sex. I have never, ever, ever in my life wanted to do anything sexual with a man, but I loved doing that. And then she started pegging me. Then she let her bull use me. Since then, she has started dressing me very feminine and taking me with her to go and play with other dominant men. I'm 24 years old, and I have started to feel very feminine since this all started. She showed me porn with she-males in it, and all I can fantasize about is being like that. Recently, she and I have been talking, and she wants me to become a she-male. I really love her and don't want to lose her. I still get really excited when she and I have sex, but I also get really excited when she dresses me up like a lady and we go out. I look so sexy. I'm slim and have a huge bubble butt. I don't know what to do. I don't have anyone to talk to. I have been with her since I was 18. What do you think I should do? I would really appreciate any input you can give me. She is giving me a couple of months to decide what I want to do. At this point, I feel totally emasculated. I really hope you get a chance to read this. I hope to hear from you. Have a great new year. Stefanos. Well, it sounds from your email like you are having a really good time. So when most people hear the phrase, I feel totally emasculated, they put a negative connotation on that. And I would have to say that I put a negative connotation on that as well. And that can be erroneous. That can be totally not the way it is. It sounds like when she dresses you up, when she takes you to the other dominant men, that you are enjoying that and you're enjoying the feeling of being emasculated and feeling feminine. Now, that's great. That's awesome. It sounds like you two are having a wonderful time exploring. I do hope that all of this is safe sex, of course. But when it comes to her wanting you to transition, that's a very serious subject that requires a whole lot of thought and research. Transitioning to a she-male, as you put it, would require a lot of hormonal therapy, and this would be something that's going to mess with your body a certain amount, and it's a really serious thing to do to your body. I wouldn't do it if the only reason you're doing it is because you don't want to lose her. I know that you really don't want to hear this, but you are young, and it's quite likely that you have a lot of different sexual experiences yet to have in your life, and possibly even a lot of different sexual partners. So I encourage you to keep that in mind as well. But yes, transitioning is a huge deal. And from my understanding, there is not a guarantee necessarily that if you transition, that your penis will still be functional. Because with the whole she-male thing, clearly you would like to look like a female, but you are wanting to keep your cock. So trans women who still have their biological equipment, sometimes that equipment works and sometimes it does not because of the hormones. So that's something to keep in mind in case you're attached to that working or not. It's hard to say because you do say you really enjoy it when you guys have sex too. So there's no guarantee that that's going to be there if you do the transition to being a trans woman who chooses to keep her original equipment. So there's that. I would urge caution, and I find it interesting that she's given you a deadline to think about it. When a deadline is given, it can be manipulative. Why is there a hurry? This is a huge decision in your life, right? And if she is not happy with how you are now, well, that speaks volumes about other things as well. You sound like you're having a lovely time going back and forth, actually. You sound like you really enjoy fucking her, but you've so gotten in touch with your feminine side and you're really enjoying that and you're enjoying the adventures that you're having with her and her other dominant men. So what is the pressure of having a deadline? That would be my question for you to consider. I wouldn't want you to make a decision as big as transitioning just because you didn't want to lose someone. That is the advice I have to give you, but I'm thrilled that you're having such a good time, and your letter was quite descriptive about how good of a time you're having and how you like going out dressed as a lady and you're in touch with your feminine. So all that is awesome. That's the best advice I can offer you. Thank you so much for writing in, and good luck. Please do let us know how this goes. Oh, you know what? Before I sign off, this is a really good thing to talk to a very sex-positive counselor about. You wouldn't want to go to a regular counselor that doesn't have experience with being sex-positive and the various gender dysphoria issues, transitioning, and that kind of thing. So I'm going to put a link to ASECT, which is the place that you can find a good therapist that is sex positive, kink friendly, that kind of thing. But I would definitely recommend speaking to a therapist about it. Talk to someone who, other than me, because I mean, I'm just someone who does a podcast. I may have good advice, I may not. You can think it's great or you can think it's not and throw it away. But this is such a big decision. You really deserve to give yourself a few therapy sessions to talk it over with someone who potentially knows the pitfalls and all the things that need to be considered. So I would advise that too. And good luck to you, sir. Here's another letter. Ruby, first of all, thank you for the blogs. I find them helpful and informative. I would like to revisit something that has been a subject here in the past, and that is stimulation for the giver. My wife likes pegging me, but gets bored after a while and wishes she were getting good stimulation as well. We have tried several doubles, including the Real Dough with Vibrate and the Nexus Senior, but we have yet to find the right one for both of us. We also have tried using the WeVibe Sync while she pegs me, as my wife is mostly G-spot orgasmic and rarely has a clitoral orgasm. But with all of the activity, it falls out. We have a Jacques harness and have added bullets in the bullet pouches, but this doesn't help much either. Any thoughts on what to try for pleasure for the giver as well as receiver? Thanks. And this is from Denny. Denny, okay, here's the deal. Since she is G-spot orgasmic primarily and really rarely has a clitoral orgasm, I would concentrate on that more as opposed to the vibration thing. Now, I still believe that the best double out there is the Fuse Tango. You can put the Vibe in there as well, but I think that the shape of the bulb that fits inside of her vagina is going to be better for her. What I would have liked to ask you is how much stimulation she gets from the Real Dough, and whether that does a even halfway decent job of stimulating her G-spot. See, part of the thing that we're dealing with here is that when G-spot orgasms happen, women get them in different ways, and some women really need that motion back and forth on the G-spot. And that is something that is, frankly, kind of difficult to reproduce with a double. You've got it harnessed, you have it held into her, there's not going to be that much movement. There will be some pressure when she increases the pressure and fucks you, but there's not going to be a lot of stroking or in and out, which it sounds like is what really gives her that orgasmic release. So you say she gets bored. You know, that's a drag, knowing that you're getting fucked and that someone who's fucking you kind of gets bored after a while. I feel for you, but that's a reality. So I'm not sure what else you can do other than make it a, okay, this time is for me, and then there's a time that is 100% for her as well. And share equal time, equal giving, that kind of thing. Because pleasure isn't always going to be concurrent. And sometimes it's just sort of a labor of love to give to the person and know that you're going to get yours in the future too. And they're going to make your body squirm and hear your moans and do everything that you love, even if they're not getting off, in the best way that they can. So you might want to walk down that street a little ways, including even you putting on a strap-on and giving her a different experience than your particular cock can, whether that experience be longer, shorter, wider, thinner, curved, You get the idea. And not just longer in terms of the length of it, but also, and this is a way cool thing, is longer in terms of being able to fuck her for longer. Because you enjoy getting fucked for so long, well, what would it be like if she could get fucked for a really long time? Now, I don't know if you can do that with her or not, or if you guys already do that. But still, there is room for her to experience different things in terms of balancing out the scales just a little bit, if you will, so that she's giving you this awesome pegging thing. Well, you want to give her an awesome something else. So that's just a suggestion, is the strap-on thing for her. Maybe it's dual penetration that she would like, and you can do that for her with a strap-on. Or a strap-on that gives her a different experience, like I said. Maybe she wants something really, really girthy, and maybe your cock isn't. Maybe she wants something smaller than what you have so that you can fuck her a really, really, really long time. Who knows? All those are individual choices, but you know, I don't have any really good suggestions for her to get off G-spot-wise while she's fucking you if you've already tried a double. I would actually still try two things. I would try the fused tango because I think the bulb is formed better than the real dough. And the other thing I might try, if she really likes wide, girthy things inside her vagina, is a double that I don't recommend because I found it really unpleasant, but some women have said that they absolutely love it. It's called Injoyous, Injoyus. And the bulb that goes inside the woman on that double is actually pretty big. It was painful for me. So that might be something she would enjoy if it's pressure and girth that she really likes. That might help. And there's two interchangeable cocks for fucking you, a smaller one and a pretty decently large one. So you might want to look into that. I will put a link for that in the Linkorama. And that is the advice that I have for you, sir. I hope you guys find something that allows her not to feel bored and still feel motivated to give you the really good fucking. Thanks for writing in. And my next email. I read your thoughts on the use of a double dildo over a strapless dildo. Can you recommend a double dildo that you like to use? Oh, I'm a little confused here because a double dildo is what most people call a strapless dildo, but I'm assuming that you probably read my article about the truth about strapless strap-ons, because double dildos are awesome. They have a lot of benefits and advantages and cool things about them, but for the vast, vast majority of women out there, they are not strapless. They do require a harness. So some people, when they're talking about doubles, mean those long, straight, flexible, many times not silicone, usually they're made out of cheap stuff, with sort of a cock head on each end. These are the sort of things that you find in porn movies where two women have scooted up butt to butt, and they have it inserted in either both of their asses or both of their vaginas. And they're kind of scooting back and forth, and the music makes it sound like it's this awesome thing, and they're having a lovely time. There's not much motion there, and I think it's more for looks and for fantasy than it is for reality getting off. So if that's what you were talking about, I really don't have a whole lot to say about that other than I guess the visual works well in porn movies, but those long kind of doubles with cock heads on each end that are flexible. I suppose the other thing that you could do is you could stick one in her ass and one in her vagina. But I mean, you know, yeah. When it comes to pegging, doubles absolutely have their place. It's not like everybody needs to try one. Some women really don't get off on having something inside their vagina. They get off more clitorally. And for those women, I would suggest that you try a Fuse Tango single, because I'm a firm believer in the Fuse products, and the Fuse singles have the same vibration insertion for clitoral stimulation as the double, which is called the Tango. So I'm going to put a link for all those things in the Linkorama, and then don't forget that if you try any of these, the very, very best mini vibe is the Wee Vibe Tango. It just happens to have the same name as the Fuse double. So I'll put links to those, because the Wee Vibe Tango is like the most powerful. It has different vibrational patterns. It's rechargeable. It's waterproof. It's fucking rocks, man. And it's a wonderful thing for a woman to like take and put in her purse and pack in the luggage and have a way to get off no matter where you are. So there you have it. I'm going to put links to all those, as I said, in the Linkorama, and that is the best advice I have for you. Thank you for writing in, sir. Here is something I found on the Pegging Paradise forum. My wife and I are pretty new to pegging. So far, we have only done it 3 times in a few months. Several weeks ago, my wife expressed interest in introducing DS and BDSM activities into our play. The idea stuck in the back of my head, and just a couple of weeks ago, I started educating myself on the subject, and we now have had a couple sessions of dipping our toes in these new waters. We both find it very exciting. Though I may be more cautious to jump into it than her, that discussion is not for this post. Anyhow, my wife has discovered she is very much into submission and is having trouble blending her sub-mind frame with the, parentheses, we perceive, female-dominant mind frame that comes with pegging. Not looking for advice on my situation as much as hearing others' perspectives and experiences, but all input is welcome. Thanks. So I wanted to read this on the podcast because first, I want to tell you what I tell people when I go to teach at DomCon. DomCon is a coming together of lifestyle and professional dominance, both female and male. So there's a whole lot of dominance and submission going on. So whenever I teach my pegging class at DomCon, which is once a year down in LA at the LA Hilton, bless their hearts for inviting all of us way kinky people into their hotel. When I do that, I always include the common question I receive from couples who are into dominance and submission play where the man is dominant. They seem to get caught up in assuming that pegging is a submissive activity. So there are a bunch of different ways that I've thought of that you could make it still male dominant. The idea that it's submissive, I think, is erroneous. Now, does it require vulnerability of the male? Absolutely. Does it require the female to be active? Absolutely. But there are many other activities where the female is submissive and she's being active. Like, let's say the male dominant says, I want you to suck my cock. So she's basically doing all the work, right? So if he commands her, I want you to fuck my ass, is that not somewhat the same thing? It's sort of a mindset, and I think the difficulty for the dominant men comes in allowing that vulnerability and receptiveness, because they are definitely receiving, okay? But that doesn't mean in any way, shape, or form that they are no longer dominant. So picture these potential scenarios. You could have your submissive woman tied to the bed, spread eagle on her back, and all these items are optional. Blindfold, nipple clamps, gag, and she's wearing a strap on, right? And you're the dominant guy, and you fucking ride it, right? And you do whatever you want to her while you're riding it. You can tease her nipples. You know, if you're into a little bit of rough play, you can be a little bit rough with her. You can do all kinds of things. And you can also maybe even have like a vibe against her clit that is sort of a forced orgasm thing. You know, there's a bunch of different ways to play that. You can also do almost that exact same thing with a chair. You can tie her to a chair. And again, all of those items are optional. And she's wearing the strap on. And you climb onto the chair with her. Make sure it's a sturdy chair, everybody. Facing her, okay? Facing her. And you slide that cock into your ass. And this is a sturdy chair. And this is a sturdy armless chair, okay? And ideally with a high back so you can keep your balance and you control everything. You control the penetration, the speed of it, the depth, the angle of the strokes. And she's right there in front of you, right next to you. You can play with her nipples. You can kiss her. You can do all kinds of things to her. And she can be tied to the chair. She can be blindfolded. And these are all happening in my mind because I'm really dominant. And it's not going to happen this way when I take a man to bed. You can hear it in the way I phrase it, right? I take a man to bed. Listen to me. So the last one, anyway, I got sidetracked there with my laughing and funny things. The last one is he's on his hands and knees. She's behind him. And this is the typical position that the vast majority of people comes to their minds when they think of pegging is the doggy style thing, right? And she's got a collar on, okay? And he has the leash. So she's behind him. But with his pulling on that leash, he controls how quickly she's fucking him, how hard she's fucking him. See what I mean? So there you go. Those are the suggestions that I have as a female dominant. And I really, really welcome all of our listeners to contribute and let us know how they managed to deal with this and what creative things they came up with, how they fit pegging into a male dominant, female submissive relationship. Thanks for the questions on that subject. It's a great one. Okay, next letter. Can you please opine as to the best harness? My lady friend ends up holding the dingus even while strapped on because the harness slips and I have a tendency to push it out with every anal orgasm. I have lots. She's not too big, beautiful woman, not too thin, maybe a 36 to 38 waist. Also, I would love to take a pegging master's class. How to stimulate gushing, how to stimulate hands-free climax, best dildos for prostate stimulation. I think you would be the perfect person to teach the class and take it on the road. Happy New Year, Perry. P.S. Will you marry me? And he did add an LOL after that. I would like to say first, no thank you, Perry. I've been married twice. It didn't work out either time. Never say never, but I don't have any intention of marrying again. Now, opine. Lovely word. I have a love affair with words. I love it when people use words that are unusual. I would love to opine as to the best harness. Here are the two that I suggest and the advantages to both of them. The first is the spare parts jock harness. Now, the reason that that's a good harness is because it's fabric, it's easy to care for, and it's really comfortable, okay? Being a fabric harness, it does have elastic in a number of places. That elastic will last you freaking forever. I've got one that's years and years and years old, and the elastic is still just as good as it was when it was brand new. But with elastic, you're going to have a little bit of give. Now, my best estimate of how much give do you have? About a quarter inch, about that. So if you don't like that quarter inch of play as you pull out and push back into his ass with that toy, then you're going to want something that is leather. And the leather harness that I can recommend for you is both the Aslan Leather Jaguar and the Minx. The Jaguar is the more basic one, and, you know, I say basic, oh my gosh, these are like the Cadillac luxury, amazing leather harnesses out there for pegging. They are gorgeous, and this is why I recommend them. They are pricey and worth every penny. So the Aslan Leather Jaguar, so you can cinch that toy down so it feels like a part of you practically. And there is no give because the leather cinches it down tightly against your body. And it's yummy, soft, amazing leather too. I can't say enough about these harnesses. Now, if you want to take one more step up, basically what you've got is the Aslan Leather Minx. The Minx has this gorgeous corset back that is not only attractive, but actually provides a little bit wider of a waistband to give you more stability and one more adjustment point, right? And it comes standard. The Minx comes standard with a thing called the double up cuff. This is a little hard to describe, but it's a piece of leather that fits onto those two straps that come from the harness in the back and go over the butt cheeks and between your legs. And it takes both of those straps and has this leather thing that slides on it that enables you to put in there a butt plug or even a dildo. And, you know, picture an option like that that vibrates. So there she is fucking you, and she's got something in her ass that fills it up and or vibrates, which is pretty damn cool. Now, that little leather thing, the double up cuff, can be bought individually. It's like $10, but it does come standard with the Minx. So Aslan Leather harnesses are the absolute Cadillac luxury harnesses out there. They're incredibly well made. All three of those harnesses are doubles friendly. Going back to the Jacques harness, that has a sewn-in O-ring, which will fit up to 2-inch in diameter dildos. If you're using something that's significantly smaller in diameter, Entice Me also sells a silicone ring to act as a buffer to kind of hold it in better. But it will fit up to 2-inch diameter toys, depending on what size of toys you enjoy playing with. The Aslan Minx and the Jaguar have interchangeable O-rings, so you can get a set of silicone O-rings that vary in size, and you can practically have a custom-made fit to fit around the base of the dildo, holding it to the harness and holding it to you. So that's an advantage for the ones with interchangeable O-rings. So, and if you are a size king to any extent, like I said, the limit is 2 inches in diameter. So if you think you're going to go beyond that, probably better to get the leather ones with the interchangeable O-rings than the jock, because that will be limited to a 2 inch in diameter. So those are the best harnesses that I can recommend to you. Your idea about a pegging master's class is fucking awesome. I do teach an advanced class, but I've never called it a master's class. And I don't know, just the way that you phrase that, it really inspired me. And I started thinking, ooh, I could teach them this and this and this. Because there's so much information about pegging that I really do need to separate it into two classes. And I do when I teach. I have a beginning and an advanced. But still, even an hour and a half in each class, there's still so much to tell. I like the focus of the orgasm and the different ways to achieve it and all that kind of stuff. That's awesome. We do end up talking a lot in the advanced class about equipment, because that's the biggest decision that many people have to make. But rather than focusing on equipment and instead focusing on how to get the most out of it, how to bring your guy the most pleasure, how does she get the most pleasure and all of things like that, that sounds pretty cool. So that needs to go on my list for the webinars, which I swear to God, people, you keep hearing me talk about this. I'm going to do webinars, right? 2018 is the year. Yes, it is. So those will be coming very, very soon. Tiffany is going to hold my feet to the fire because I've been talking about it for way too long, and it's time to get it happening, because I know there's a bunch of you people out there waiting for those webinars, and I do apologize that it has taken me this long to get there. So that could definitely be inspiration for the webinar, absolutely, the Pegging Masters class. Thank you for writing in. I hope that's good information for you. I'm going to put the link to all three of those harnesses up on the Linkorama for you, and Happy New Year to you too. Okay, settle in a little bit. This is a long letter. It's a really good one. I don't know how much mail you get. I'm only on episode 20 of your podcasts. I keep meaning to jump ahead and listen to a more recent episode, because things can change so much in 5 years. I wonder how many emails you get from lost people. I was thinking about your podcast this afternoon, and it honestly made me reflect on my life and evaluate the good I am bringing to the world. I decided that you are an actual superhero. I think you should get a cape and sometimes wear it while you're pegging, or at least while you're recording podcasts, perhaps while teaching classes. I wonder how many lives you have saved by now. At, as far as I can tell, a good solid 7 years of publicly telling everyone that you accept them and their kinks and value their experiences. I don't know if anyone has ever written to you about you saving their life, but people in places, spaces of acceptance do exactly that. I appreciated your response on FetLife. I always thought that was like OkCupid for kinky people, so I had never been. I didn't know it's more like Facebook for kinky people. If I had more free time, I would waste quite a lot of it there, I think. On Thanksgiving Day in 2011, my husband and I were alone hanging out on a couch in our family room. All of our kids were other places for Thanksgiving. We were snuggling and talking and fooling around a bit, and he looked at me. For me, it was completely out of nowhere and nothing, and said that if I wanted to get a strap on and fuck him, that he would let me. Ruby, we had never had anything but vanilla sex. No bondage, no blindfolds, no role play. I think we had experimented with a little bit of anal sex with me receiving. I like it, but I don't crave it. And compared to my high-functioning vagina, it's something I do more for him than for me, though it's not something he's super fixated on either. More of a variety is awesome sometimes sort of a thing. I've always been pretty butt-grabby, and since he had been tickling my back door a little, I had been playing around doing the same on him a bit. But more as a casual goofing off while waking up sort of thing than anything serious or even resembling foreplay, really. So I just sat there, in shock. I had no idea why he had said it. He had never had anything in his butt before, not with previous partners, not self-play. But he just said, if I wanted to play with his ass, that if I wanted to peg him in the ass, he would be game. Happy Thanksgiving. Have some butt sex. I sat there and I thought about it. I don't remember what I said, but probably something super articulate and memorable, like, really? And he asked me if he was way off base or if that was something that I wanted to do. I honestly had never considered it specifically, but, like, I had a little bit. I'm pretty open from a curiosity standpoint. I knew that Fieldos existed and had probably made jokes about them, but they really were jokes to me, so it's not like I didn't know what he was talking about. I said he wasn't totally off base, that I thought it was something I wanted to try. We researched, we shopped, we ordered a Real Dough Slim and a Jacques harness. When it arrived and we were finally alone, I put it in. He was there. I felt so weird and awkward. He went down on me, and it was completely crazy. Like on Thanksgiving, I was wondering, what all are you hiding up in your fantasy land, sir? But it was amazing. I have heard you say, that isn't something you really get, though that was more than 5 years ago and pre-tango for you. But I am pretty sure I orgasmed from him sucking on me, giving me a hand job. I don't even remember if we got all the way to pegging that night. Probably. And I liked it, but I couldn't relax, and I couldn't get past my certainty that I was going to hurt him, and I found the whole thing overwhelming. Over the years, we have pegged again super occasionally, maybe a few times a year. There have been a variety of discussions about both of us wanting to do it more often, but I couldn't, and I didn't know why. It wasn't safe, emotionally. I wasn't okay. I wanted it, but it didn't feel that it was okay that I wanted it. And not because I have weird hang-ups or anything like that. I am so open. I am so cool with whatever consulting adults want to do. I'm 100% unbothered by homosexuality, bisexuality, pansexuality, asexuality, fetishes, BDSM, whatever people want to do. Lots of it isn't for me personally, but who cares? I don't want anyone telling me what kind of sex I get to enjoy, so I'm really uncomfortable judging anybody else's consensual pleasure. I won't even add, as long as nobody gets hurt, because sometimes that part is consensual too. It was me personally. I wasn't okay. I liked it too much, and there was no good reason for that. I'm super orgasmic, multi-orgasmic, PIV only orgasmic, orgasmic from oral with fingers inserted, from manual, from running water, from humping things. It's quite possible I haven't explored many kinks because I am so damn easy to get off, like, why try harder? But pegging was actually somewhat difficult for me and fraught with concern that if I got into my pleasure, I might hurt him. I didn't want to lose control and cause him to not want to peg, even though we were already not pegging enough, and it was more on my side than his. That whole thing was just freaking difficult. I didn't have the energy to deal with it. Life with sparse pegging went on. Still plenty of regular sex, but not nearly enough pegging. 2017 has been an impossibly hard year in our life for reasons too numerous to list. We have been at the brink of separating, possibly even divorcing, a couple of times. It has been hard in every way, and it took its toll on our marriage. We started writing to each other in emails because we couldn't talk without fighting. But in the emails, we were trying. There was still love. There was still something worth saving. At some point in the midst of long and intense email discussions, I confessed to him. He had actually married a tiny, adorable, and bizarrely curvy man, and that I was really, really sorry about that. It was also the first time I had really blatantly, openly admitted it to myself. He said, I know, and I do not care. He said, I've known almost the whole time. I love everything about you. Pegging had hit way too close to home all of the times we had tried it, and I was terrified of that. Paralyzed by absolute existential horror. It wasn't a kinky role-swapping thing that I was doing because he loved having his ass played with. I'm not a dom. He's not a sub. I'm a gay man. Or I was supposed to be anyway. I have been in denial my whole life. I have been in a state of clear dysphoria my whole life, too. He saw it, though. I'm in my late 30s. I have given birth 3 times. I am a gay man. part of me feels insanely silly typing that. But the other part of me is somewhere between, like, seriously, nobody makes this shit up. And if you knew me, you would completely understand. There is more, but that is all I have the emotional energy to say right now. I am spent. I have never told anyone any of it. The only person who knows is my husband. Whew. Wow. I got goose pimples, and I'm teary, and it's like, wow. So here's what happened. I wrote this woman back, and I asked her if I could please share her story. Because a first-person sharing of struggles with gender orientation are so valuable for people to hear right now, when our world is just beginning to see that the gender binary expectations fail a lot of people, including this woman. She consented, thankfully. We changed some details in it and made it a little bit more anonymous. And when she wrote back and gave me the consent, she added this: I'm working on writing more about where we went from there, because it seems unfair to not get to the part of the story with copious amounts of pegging if I'm going to write you about my pegging. Thank you. Whew. Wow. What an amazing realization. What an amazing moment to be able to put that into words. And to me, the most amazing part of all is that you have a partner who said, I get it. I know. That's what I love about you. That's fucking awesome. All of us, I think our deepest desire is to be completely accepted for exactly who we are. And you have that. And it's totally awesome. And I wanted to read this because it's kind of sad. It's amazing. It's enlightening. It's shocking. And it's beautiful. It is so beautiful. And so I can't wait to hear the pegging story. See, I'm all teary-eyed again. It's such a beautiful story. I would love to hear about the copious amounts of pegging. Thank you so much for letting me share this. And thank you for writing in and sharing it with just me to begin with. I'm honored to be the second person you told this to after your husband. If I can hold that safe feeling of a space for you to be able to do that, then I really am honored. That would be my goal, is to hold that safe space for everyone listening. Okay, I'm going to go take a break, have a drink of wine, and I'll come back and finish this podcast for you all. The last thing I'm going to read to you is something that I wrote some time ago. It was back in 2013. Those of you who peruse my blog may have run across it, and I also recorded this as an audio. Those of you who cruise around on Reddit may have encountered it in the time that I was there as a moderator for 4 years. But as a writer, sometimes you go back and you look at your stuff and you read it and you go, damn, that was awesome. That was fucking spot on. And this is where this piece hits me. I think it needs to be read aloud on my podcast once a year. And I do hope that those people who are here for the first time, just discovering my podcast, full of uncertainty and fear and all of those sorts of things, find this and listen to it. This is for the men. Dear ass men, anal can be awesome, as you well know, or are perhaps just discovering. Sexual orientation has nothing to do with what part of the body you enjoy having stimulated. You are the only one who gets to decide who you are attracted to, whether it's men or women or either or neither. And if anyone tries to assign you a sexual orientation based on what part of the body you enjoy having stimulated, laugh in their face at the ridiculousness of that assumption. Laugh at the temerity of anyone who thinks they know you better than you know yourself. And especially laugh at the exceptional ignorance of anyone who would actually use sexual orientation as a slur. Then, go on about your sexy business exploring your asses, fucking, pegging, rimming, plugging, fingering, or whatever you most love. Because you are the brave ones, dear hearts. You are the ones taking a deep breath and indulging in a first-class tour of your own bodies to discover all the pleasure you can handle. Not an adventure for the faint-hearted, and don't you know it. There are few things more soul-touching and vulnerable and open and intense and even scary than welcoming someone into your ass. I celebrate your courage amidst the ignorance, your openness amidst the fear, and your willingness to be intrepid explorers of your own sexuality. Well done. Love, Ruby. And that is the last podcast of 2017 that you will be listening to. You can find my work at peggingparadise.com, where I have my blog, my podcast, my erotica, and the forum, or pegging101.com, where you will find informational pegging articles only with no kink. My podcasts are available through a variety of podcast downloader apps, which you can find a sampling of under the tab Follow on my website for both Android and iPhones. You can also stream my podcast directly from my website if you like. The Follow tab has links for you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, and check out my Facebook page. If you order any sexy new toys from enticeme.com, please remember to use that coupon code RIDER for 15% off of your purchase. And send your questions to ruby@peggingparadise.com. No question is too different, too delusional, or too dumb. Many listeners are going to learn along with you, so please don't be shy. Throw all those questions into my mailbox or call me at 805-500-6544. Thank you for downloading and listening, everyone. You rock. Happy pegging.